The Ministry of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, today I am excited to share with you a very special episode with Nancy DeMoss Wilgemuth. Nancy Wilgemuth is someone who has influenced Emily and me from afar for many years. I remember growing up listening to Nancy through the Revive Our Hearts ministry and doing her studies through the True Woman movement. She's had a deep impact on both Emily and me, and it is an honor to have her on today's show. And it's not just us that Nancy has impacted. She's touched the lives of millions of women, calling women all over the world to heart revival and biblical womanhood. Her love for Christ and His Word is infectious and permeates her online outreaches, conference messages, books, and her two daily nationally syndicated radio programs, Revive Our Hearts and Seeking Him, all of which you can find links to in our show notes. Nancy has a new book coming out that she co-wrote with her husband, Robert, which actually comes out the same day as Emily and I's new book, Risen Motherhood, on September 3rd, 2019. The book is titled, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. And it's all about how no matter what happens, you can trust God to write you a good story. He redeems all situations, no matter how unlikely. We'll talk a bit more about this book and Nancy's story on today's show. So let's get to it. Here's the interview with Nancy, Emily, and myself. Well, hi, Nancy. Thanks for joining us on Risen Motherhood today.
Well, I am so excited to meet both of you and to learn more about your ministry and excited about the calling God's given you and the way that you're encouraging moms. I don't know what more important thing you could do. So thanks so much for the chance to connect.
Oh, well, it is just a joy to chat with you. We were talking before we jumped on this recording just about how much of an impact Nancy has made in our lives personally. And so we're just so grateful for your faithfulness to the Word of God and your faithfulness to pass on the things that He's teaching you in Christ to the next generation. And we can't wait for our listeners to hear this interview and just get to glean some of that wisdom if they haven't listened to Revive Our Hearts. So thanks for being here.
You are so welcome. It's really an honor.
Nancy, I would love it if you would give our listeners a quick peek into maybe what your daily life looks like, what kind of ministry you are up to. I know you have a book coming out, it sounds like, in September. I think it's the same date as our book. So two book birthdays happening at the same time. So tell us about all the fun things you're up to these days.
I love that. Well, what a day in my life looks like. There are no 2 days alike, so that's like mothering, right? There's a lot of tedium, a lot of just tasks that, you know, writing and preparing messages to speak. I have a conference ministry and write books. So a lot of, most of what I do is behind the scenes, preparing for more than, you know, public outreaches. But the Lord has given me the opportunity for now almost 20 years to be involved with this ministry that I started called Revive Our Hearts. Our byline is calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. So that's something that applies to every season of life. When this ministry started, I was single. In fact, I was single until I was 57 years old, and I really felt that God would have me single for all of my life. I loved serving Him. I loved ministry. I loved being single. I was a champion of marriage and motherhood and family, a big champion of it. And I loved coming alongside families and encouraging them, but I just didn't think God was going to have that plan for my life. So, long story short, when I was 56, a man came into my life. I'd actually known him. He was my agent as a writer for years ago. And so I knew him. I knew his wife. They were married for almost 45 years. And then Bobby had 2 years of ovarian cancer that ultimately took her home to heaven. So many of us were praying for Robert Wilgemuth and his family as they were walking through this. And when the Lord took her to heaven, not long after that, Robert came back into my life and said, "Would you be interested in pursuing a friendship?" And I could, like, I was so taken aback. It was like God sent earth moving equipment into my heart, because I had never, I said to him in that first conversation, I said, if I were ever to be married, God would have to awaken love in my heart in a way that it's never happened before. And it did. So at 57, I was married for the first time. He had been married for a long time. And, you know, this is a huge new season of my life. We celebrate month anniversaries because that's the only way we'll ever catch up to our friends. So we had our 41st anniversary month, that is. Aww. And I'm in a sweet new season, but it's been a good reminder that whether you're a young mom or a, you know, leading a ministry or having a career in the workplace or whatever, that our lives as women do function as seasons. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, one of the lies the world tells us is that you can do everything now and you can't. So I've had to make some changes and adjustments in my life the same way that, you know, when you were married and didn't have children, it looked different than when you are married and now have five children, right? Make changes, but in every season of life, here's the sweet thing, is that God is faithful, His word is true, His grace is sufficient. And so now Robert and I have just, we've each authored 20 books or more, but now we've just written our first one together, which is the one you reference is coming out in September. And it's called, and I'm going to mention this, not to promote the book, but I want to promote the concept. Mm. The book is called, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. And the subtitle is Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. And in this book, we tell a little bit about our story, but our story isn't anything spectacular. Everybody has their own story. But we talk about people whose stories have taken them through hard places, maybe infertility or a sick child or the loss of a loved one, financial challenges, a difficult marriage. And every woman, no matter, you know, who's listening to this conversation right now, she may or may not be in a hard place right now, but she will be in a hard place at different times in her life. We all are. Mm-hmm. And we can't predict those. We can't control them. We can't determine what they are. I mean, you know, there's some hard places we get into because we did stupid or sinful things. Right. But there are a lot of hard places we get into through no fault of our own, through no choosing of our own, maybe something in our past, it may be something in our present. And as we interviewed people for this book and listened to their stories, we just kept realizing that when you look back, you realize that you really can trust God to write your story. And so I want to say that as a word of encouragement to moms, because our ministry, we hear all the time at Revive Our Hearts from women who have a really sick child or lose a child, or they're fearful about how their child's going to make it in today's world, which has a lot of things to be fearful about. Mm-hmm. And in all of this to say, you know, there are times as a mom when your own marriage is not doing well, or you're a single mom and you're doing this by yourself, or you have a lot of little ones at the same time, which means you're going to have a lot of teenagers at the same time.
oh dear. I hadn't thought that far ahead yet.
And I say that from a little experience. I've never had children of my own, but my mom had, and dad together had, six children in their first 5 years of marriage, which means they had six teenagers at one time.
Wow.
And my mom was widowed at the age of 40 with seven children, ages 8 to 21.
Wow.
And I don't say that to make anyone afraid, but my dad was 53. He dropped dead of a heart attack. And so my mom, who's now 80, has spent the last 40 years of her life as a widow. And there have been some really hard things, hard places. I have a brother who was killed in a car accident. So she lost a child after losing a husband. And you don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know. You know, I married an older man. Robert is 10 years older than I am. I don't know what his health is going to look like. I don't know what my health is going to look like. So to say, whatever season of life you're in, the encouragement I try to give women all the time is, and myself, is you can trust God to write your story. So I'm not sure how I got on all that, but that's the book we've been working on this year. And I really believe that applies as much to young moms as to women in any season of their lives.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing all that. I think hopefully all of our listeners feel like they got to have this treasured one-on-one coffee date with a woman who is further along and able to look back and say, this is what a lifetime of following and trusting God produces and what we get to see looking back. I know we have a lot of moms of young kids listening who are craving the voice of an older woman with just the wisdom of years. And so it's just a joy for us to be able to hear that today and to ponder what that might mean as we walk forward.
And let me say this, just if I could insert this thought, you women are, you know, you're in your early 30s. You have a lot of young moms, 20s, 30s, whatever, listening. Let me tell you, I turned 60 this past fall. And I have to tell you that the distance from 20 or 30 to 60 is faster than you can imagine. I'm totally gray haired. I don't have nearly the energy I did at 30. And I'm not a woman who's like ever been afraid of getting old. I've always looked forward to it. I was at the gym this morning and I told my trainer, I said, 60 is so different. And I'm, you know, physically having a lot of changes and, but it happened so fast. And I look back on 20 and 30 and 40 and I say, how did I get to 60? How did it happen? And so I want to say that it happens faster than you can imagine. And that the habits, the choices, the faithfulness that you younger women, I'm not talking down to you. I'm like saying, I feel like I was you just a minute ago. And the choices that you're making today to love God, to love His word, to say yes to His promises, to cling to Him when you can't understand what He's doing, to praise Him when your eyes are filled with tears. Those choices, those hard choices, the seeking God, putting Him first, getting into His word when you feel like you don't have a spare minute in your day, prioritizing your spiritual life and development and not just the to-do list of the day. All these things, when you get to be 40, 50, 60, and I can't speak beyond 60, but I'm sure this is still going to be true, you will reap down the road the beautiful fruit and benefits and blessings of those hard choices you're making today. And that doesn't mean, you know, that you're going to blow it too, whether you're 30, 40, 50, or 60 or older. There are days we totally blow it. We fail. We don't trust God at times. We lean on our own understanding. We get so caught up in activity and busyness that we forget the Lord. And that's where the gospel is such good news, no matter what age you are, because you say, I can go back and I can humble myself and say, Lord, I tried to live this day without you. I didn't mean to, I didn't intend to, but that's just what I did. I lost my cool. I got sharp edged or angry or critical with one of my kids or with my husband or with somebody in the workplace. The gospel is for sinners, right? Mm-hmm. It's for people who blow it. So the goal isn't at 30 or at any age to be perfect and then to beat up ourselves when we fail. That's a form of pride in itself, because did I think I could be perfect, you know? So living out the gospel in that season when you're younger and have younger children is going to stand with you. It's preparing the way. It's laying a solid foundation. It's building your life on a rock so that when worse storms come, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, the winds and the storms are going to come. And when they beat up on your house, like literally or figuratively, you know, if you've been building it on the rock, Christ Jesus, and the truth of His word, you're going to find that your house will stand even when those storms do beat up against it. I'm trying not to lecture.
No, go ahead. We're just listening.
There's a sweetness in your life as you get older. There can be sweetness in your life when you're younger too. I experienced a lot of that. But now I'm looking back and saying, oh, thank you, Lord, that you put some older women in my life who encouraged me to stay the course and to press into knowing you and your word. And conversely, I've seen women, I have friends who spent their younger years. I know some younger women, not married yet, you know, young adults, early 20s, who are I look on social media, I know them personally, and I'm thinking, the things you seem to be giving your life to right now, I don't know that those are really going to stand you in good stead when you are a wife, a mom, or an older woman, or a grandmom, or an empty nester. If you're living for just pleasure, for just stuff, for just beauty, there's no sin in those things. But if those are the priorities of your life, if your time is being spent on things that are temporal, if that's where your focus and your heart are, then when those storms come up in your life, you may find that you will find that your house has been built on sand instead of a rock. And as Jesus said, that house is going to fall. And you're going to say, how come my faith didn't stand strong? How come my life, seemed to have blown away? Well, the choices you're making right now, all of us, it's true, the choices we're making today are the things that are going to determine in large measure the fruitfulness and the success and the joy of our life down the road. So what you're doing today really does matter. It's a kind word to that child when you feel like, there was no textbook ever written for this child. Stay in there, hang in there, stay the course, and God's going to honor and bless the godly choices and the wise choices you make today.
Oh, I love that, Nancy. That was so encouraging, of just such a good reminder, because as moms, we can get really bogged down in the day to day, and we don't really step back and remember what is the goal of this life, or where am I headed, and where am I going to end up if I'm focusing on social media or building a beautiful home or creating amazing meals. Then, what's that going to lead me to in 30 years from now, mm-hmm. versus looking at, am I investing my time in God's word today? And where is that going to get me in 30 years? And I think we all can say, I want to put my stock, I want to put my weight and my time into reading God's word. Like, that's going to be a more fruitful ending. So can you help us maybe have just a couple of tips or even like one step that a mom could even take today to just dig more into God's word? Something that I love about your ministry, that I love about what you stand for, is just encouraging women to be in the word of God. But sometimes as a mom, that can feel like a little bit elusive, or what does that look like? So can you just encourage that mom who is struggling to know kind of what that might look like?
I think it's not as complicated as sometimes we make it. We've all heard it said, you are what you eat. And we hear that usually about our diet, right? So if my dietary habits were terrible in my 20s, terrible. I lived in fast food drive-thrus. Mm-hmm. And when I hit 30, I realized I was like not feeling well. I was paying the price for all those Wendy's burgers in my 20s. And because you are what you eat, you don't see the good or bad results of what you eat probably that day. Mm-hmm. But over the course of weeks or months or years, you do see it decades, like you put on the weight, you feel sluggish, you don't feel as strong. Okay. Spiritually, you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. You are what you're taking in. So what I'm taking in on social media, what I'm taking in the books I read, the music I listen to, the conversations I have, I spend a lot of time on social media and reading and trying to keep up on trends, and some of that's really helpful, but some of it is not really nourishing my soul. That's not to say those things are wrong. I'm not talking about sinful stuff. I'm just saying, if I don't also have a steady diet of getting intake of the word into my system, I am not going to have the spiritual strength, the spiritual stamina, the spiritual wisdom, the spiritual insight, the spiritual discernment to do what God's called me to do. And what God has called you women to do right now is to love your husbands, is to love your children, is to keep your home. And by that, I don't mean just house cleaning. I mean building a home for the glory of God. And that's, you may have other aspects of your calling too. You may have a job outside your home. You do this podcast, you do some writing, but whatever the things that God's called you to do, you're not going to know how to do it. And you're not going to have the grace to do it if you haven't been taking in a steady diet of God's word. And I think, there are tools about how to study God's word. There are lots of resources available today online that were not at all available when I was in my 20s, or they weren't as easily accessible. So there's lots out there, but I come back to reading and meditating on scripture, however you have to do it, listening to it. If you want to get an appetite for God's word, take some time and just read Psalm 119 out loud. You can do it in 13 to 15 minutes, depending how fast you read. Just read it out loud and highlight the places where it talks about delighting in God's word, loving God's word. Make a note of the things it talks about, what God's word will do for you, what it will do in you, what it will give you, and just like make a list of the benefits and the blessings that come from having God's word in your system. You are what you eat. And as you read that psalm, just say, what could I do to get more of God's word into my system? I started reading God's word as soon as I could read. I'm talking like first grade. Now they're reading it like three, whatever, but I think I was probably first grade before I could read. I have a shelf full of Bibles that I have read through many times over the years. My life is very full, very busy, very busy. I work long days, hard days. And now that I'm married, there's, you know, I have a husband who I love and I want to have time to spend with him too. So I don't have extra margin in my life. I always thought as I got older, maybe I would. It doesn't happen. And so I'm just saying we're all busy. We all have full lives. Mm-hmm. But take time. Find some things that are not essentials in your life at this season and get rid of them. Now, don't get rid of your kids because they are essential. But if there's some things you're doing that you just don't have to do right now, then maybe okay things are good things, but you can't do everything. So make the choice. David says in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and dwell in his temple, inquire in his presence every day of my life. I just paraphrased it. It was a bad paraphrase, but that's the gist of it. One thing. So I've come to my life numerous times when I kind of got in that spiritual fast food drive-through, you know, where I'm just getting a, you know, grabbing a psalm and a proverb and running into my day. And I come back and I say, Lord, if there's only one thing I can do in this day, it's got to be not all the deadlines, all the demands, all the things that other people are begging me for or screaming at me that they need. My husband calls those things on our to-do list. He calls us screaming babies. And you guys have little screaming babies and diapers to change and kids to get here and there. But even with your kids, you know, there's so much pressure today to compare to what other people are doing with their kids, what other people have their kids doing with sports, with music, with art, with drama, with, and there's so much pressure that look at this college admission scandal with these moms, some of them famous moms who like, what kind of pressure was a mom feeling to say it's worth $500,000 of, mm-hmm. you know, illegal expense to get my kid into this school or that school. And I'm not slamming those moms. I'm slamming all our, the tendency of all our hearts mm-hmm. to perform, to say we have to look like this or we have to look like that, rather than saying, you know what? All we have to have is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have him, then we don't have anything really worth having. And if we're not looking to him to guide our day and our steps and to raise our kids or love our husbands or do whatever is in our day, you know, in the workplace or in church or whatever, if we're not leaning on him to show us what really matters in that day, then we're going to be like that frazzled, frenzied, frenetic Martha in Luke chapter 10, who is, you know, she's running around barking out orders and losing it. And how, you know, we can have these nice podcasts. And when you and I are talking to each other, you know, we all have we're on our best behavior. We're being nice to each other. But the real test is when I'm pushed, when I'm stretched and I'm in my home and I'm with the people that know me best and they're not, you know, I don't have to be nice to them. Am I breathing grace in, breathing grace out? The only way I can do that. And let me tell you, I blow it so often. I'm not going to blow it probably on this podcast, but when I'm just, you know, it's just Robert and me, or I'm just with the people in our office, where am I going to get the grace to breathe grace out when a staff member or a family member like steps on my last nerve? Mm-hmm. Or when one of your kids does that, or when one of Robert's family members, I inherited 5 teenage grandkids when we got married, where am I going to get the grace to love them well, to be gentle and compassionate and kind? It's going to be in God's word because you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. So do what you have to do. And I'm not saying that's going to be, as a mom with little ones, you may not have an uninterrupted hour ever mm-hmm. in your day. So take the minutes you do have. And when I just mentioned being at the gym a little while ago, and I hadn't been for a while. I've been sick. I was traveling. And so I was like in really pain today. And my trainer said to me as I was leaving, she said, you need to eat something every hour for the next 4 hours, just something little. She said, it doesn't have to be a great big meal, but it's without the lack of whatever. I don't know what it is. like get some almonds or a piece of cheese. That's sometimes the way that moms with little ones or anybody with a busy life, sometimes you're just, it's snacks.
Yeah.
And grab it, get a verse and go back to it every hour of the hour through the day. Now that doesn't, snacks don't take the place of having really good meals on some sort of regular basis mm-hmm. also. So when you can, set aside time to get it, to just take a deeper soak in the word. And there are lots of different ways of reading through the scripture, or you can put a microscope on it and spend, you know, a month in Psalm 23, or you can look at it with a telescope and take, I'm doing a journaling Bible right now. It's about going to take me about 2.5 years where I'm just day after day writing, responding to the scripture I'm reading. So that's taking me a little bit longer. So get those meals, but get the snacks when you're nursing, when you're feeding your kids, when your kids are down for a nap, when you think you're so tired you can't, you know, just get a verse you can cling to.
Yeah. Wow. There was so much wonderful wisdom you just gave there. And I think a lot of really practical things too. I know that that's been my experience and Laura's experience when we're going through seasons where sometimes we can spend that several hours throughout the week and really soak in the word and study deeply and prepare for Bible study. And a lot of times it's those investments that allow us to kind of snack on the other days that, man, things are just really going crazy. And I planned to get up and read, but I actually had a child wake me up at the bedside.
Exactly.
And I had to skip that time. But because there had been some longer investments made, then I was able to jump right in and like meditate on something or listen through a hymn and think through and really understand what those words mean. And I like what you're describing of those deposits don't return void. They build up over time and they're living and active, and God uses them to transform us. And he's faithful to do that, even when we are incredibly weak and we're very aware that we didn't check all of the boxes. He still gives us grace in those moments through his word.
Yes, he does. So. And I think half the battle is having the desire, the appetite. And here's the thing, that physically, the more you eat, the more full you are, the less you want. You know, you get stuffed, you say, I can't eat another bite. But spiritually, I have found that the more you eat of God's word, the more you crave it.
So true. You want it.
So if you don't have a desire, tell God that. And just start reading, and you will find that you really start to long for God's word. Now, again, there are tools that can help you do that in a more meaningful way, especially if it's new to you. But I think a lot of times the reason we're not hungry for God's word is because we're, you know, you tell your kids, you don't want them to eat a lot of sugar before dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Do moms still tell kids that? They used to.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a lot of them do, but because you don't want them to lose their appetite, right? For the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, spiritually, if we're filling our, you know, mental and emotional and spiritual appetite with junk food, with what we can get on social media, social media can be such a great way of connecting meaningfully with people, but it's also something can really strip us of an appetite for the things that matter most, which is human touch, human relationship, and connection with God. So I'm not saying swear off it unless if it's hurting you, then, and you need to get off it, then get off it. But just make sure it's not the thing that's stealing or killing your appetite for God's word. And if it is, then start to replace some of that with meditating on God's word, memorizing. I heard third and fourth graders in a church service last week quote most of Isaiah 53. Wow. That's a long, hard passage.
Those kids
spent a lot of time memorizing that passage. You say, well, I couldn't memorize that. Well, then memorize one verse, you know, and keep saying it. And the more you are listening to and in God's word, the more you're going to find you have a hunger and an appetite for it.
I love that analogy because that it's like sugar before dinner, because we would all say, yeah, like, within reason, there's nothing wrong with eating something sweet or enjoying a dessert, but Boy, you sure can spoil your appetite for the true nourishment if you're doing it out of moderation and you're doing it at the wrong time when what you really need is bread, not Skittles.
Mm. Well, a lot of times when we're really tired, that's when we go to the junk food, right?
Yeah, what's easy.
And when we're tired spiritually, we think, you know, just when we think about feeding our souls, it's so much easier to start scrolling through Instagram than it is to pick up my Bible. Mm-hmm. I get that. I do get that. And a lot of times I'm kind of a news junkie, and late at night, my husband goes to sleep earlier than I do. So I'm laying in bed there, and it's much easier for me to get into the news. But I find that if I do too much of that over too long a period of time, my soul is going to be starved, and I'm not really helping my tiredness. I'm not really refreshing my soul. I think I'm doing this just to relax, but it doesn't really do what I'm hoping it will. The Word of God will do that for me.
Yeah, that's what goes in is what comes out. So you're going to end up seeing the effects of whatever you're feeding yourself throughout.
You are what you eat.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Well, Nancy, unfortunately, we already have to wrap up. We are so grateful for the time that you spent with us and our audience. I know that I'm sure that they are feeling just so excited about God's word and so grateful for your words of encouragement and exhortation. We just really, really appreciate the time that you spent with us today. And I feel like your love for the Lord is just so contagious. And we're really, really grateful for you sharing that with us today.
Oh, well, thank you. Listen, could I just pray a brief prayer for your moms who are listening?
Yes, please.
Lord, I do just want to lift up every mom. You know where she is, what she's going through, what she's facing in her day. And I pray that she would be able to breathe grace in and breathe grace out, that you would encourage her, strengthen her, give her life according to your word. And may she look up instead of just in or out and find there that you are pleased with her, you are favoring her, and you will give her all the grace that she needs to do what you have called her to do this day. So give her courage and faith and stamina, and may the investment that she's making this day produce much fruit for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much again, Nancy. We really appreciate your time. And if you guys want to learn more about Nancy, what she's up to over at Revive Our Hearts, and more about the new book that she and her husband have written, please head over to risenmotherhood.com and find our show notes for today's show. We'll have links to all sorts of things that Nancy is involved with. And you can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Risen Motherhood. And we'll have some stuff just from this interview and other things that Nancy does online this week that you can go and check out. So thanks, guys, for joining us.